Blog Talk Radio.
Problem in our scheduling, and we are starting a half an hour late here, but we are back on the air after a minor glitch. Actually, it was a major glitch, and hopefully we got all the bugs worked out, and we're not going to go off the air again. So anyway, welcome to the Writer's Lounge. This is show 36 on November 26, 2012. I'm your host, Tom Riddell, and my co-host, Robin Eduardo, will be joining us as soon as she calls in. A brief intro to today's show. We're bringing on Robert Nicpon, who wrote Gazpacho, and he will be here to talk about The Little Guy, and he will also talk to us about the process The Little Guy's been going through, and also he's been going through, because he's got some editing problems, or not editing problems, but he's got some things that he has to work on to get The Little Guy out to everybody out there and make sure that it's going to be done properly. So that's what he is working on. You can find us over at tomriddell.com/blog, and that's where we do all the reviews. And the Blog Talk Radio player is located in the upper left-hand corner of the blog, where you can click on your favorite author and have a listen while you read all the reviews. Of course, you can always find us on Facebook over on the Blog Talk Radio site. Just click on the Facebook link. That'll take you right to the Facebook page, and you can like us there. Also, we are on Twitter, so please Twitter us. And the old-fashioned way of contacting us would be the email, twl11@yahoo.com. Our upcoming authors next time around in 2 weeks will be William Lutz. He wrote the book called, and it's a mouthful, it's called The Audiosensory Guide to Schrodinger's Cat. And he will be here to talk about his stories and exploits. There's about 10 stories in his book, which I think you will find very interesting. And once again, he will be on the show next time around. And I believe that would be December 10th. And we'll check on that date and make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be with the date. Also, I'd like to promote MagicPenWebDesign.com. Offers its clients a simple, effective, and affordable approach to website design development. And please visit us over there at MagicPenWebDesign.com. And you can click on the free estimate link if you'd like to contact us and let us know what you would like as far as having a web page. And with that, we'd like to talk to you about color instructions. And you can give us a call here and talk to the author and Robin and myself at 626-213-5613 or toll free at 877-878-1436. And with that, I would like to bring on my co-host, the lovely and or talented Robin Eduardo. And as soon as I find the right button here, we can click on it and hopefully that will be here. Robin, are you here with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and once again, everybody that's tuning in, we did have a minor major glitch here, but we are back
minor,
on
major.
The radio, and we for the time being, the link that you will see on the Blog Talk Radio site will not feature the picture of gazpacho and the author, that will have to be added later. So please revisit that site and re-listen to the show if you'd like. But the main thing here is that we are going to be talking to the author, Robert Nicpon, who is here in studio with me, and we will be getting details about his story and his exploits shortly here, about quarter after the hour. And I'm sorry, not quarter after the hour, quarter of the hour, because we're running a half an hour behind here on the show. But Robin, we talked a little bit earlier. How are you doing with the storm cleanup there?
Things are slowly getting better. The waterfronts are beginning to get some cleaning up done. There's still a lot of people waiting for, different various construction companies that can come out and take care of the demolition of their houses, because needless to say, I do know that I've seen notifications that were placed on all of, well, not all of the houses, but several of the houses that were along the shore down in South Jersey, that their houses were, I mean, that's it. They could not, you couldn't occupy the residence. They had to be demolished. And now it's kind of like, you know, what do people do? Because there's been so much devastation across the state that there's just not enough contractors to be able to come in and you know, help people move forward in their lives and deal with the destruction of their property. And it just, you know, so it's going to be a little while. I'm sure the more touristy areas are going to recover a lot faster. And, of course, we know that Seaside Heights is famous for the Jersey Shore television program that's on MTV. So they're getting a lot of coverage, and no doubt, you know, money will be funneled into that region, which is well-deserved because they really got slammed. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, you know, it's going to be a little while, and we know, you know, what we're facing, and we're strong people, and we're moving ahead.
That's good.
You know, Jersey's still beautiful, even though it has that horrible reputation. You know, just going down and walking down by the waterfront and looking at everything, it's just like it never even happened until you turn around and then look at, well, this is what the ocean did, you know, when you're facing the other direction. But
right. I'm glad you're getting your life back there. It's been quite a struggle for a lot of people there in the shore.
Yeah.
And our friend Brian Anderson also lives in your area, and I hope he is back to normal. Well, Brian's never back to normal, but that's another story and another show. But anyway, as we were talking on the last show that is not airing because we had to delete it, but we did talk about I attended the movie Lincoln yesterday, and I found it very interesting, and very quickly here, without getting too much into it, so we can get Robert on here, because we're all anxious to hear from him. But I found the story very interesting in the fact that it was actually a story. And you know, a lot of people, I think, they get caught up in going to the movies. They get caught up in the special effects of everything, and that's what they're expecting. Well, the movie starts out with a Civil War battle, which was very graphic and kind of gave everybody the feel and taste of what they're really looking for when they go to a movie, what they normally see. But then it quickly fell into the story, the backstory behind the scenes, where Lincoln had to actually ponder and think about the 13th Amendment, which was obviously ultimately the amendment that freed the slaves. So there was a lot of thought there, and also the war, which really brought the story up and dramatized it as he was trying to get the votes to pass this amendment. It was very dramatical. It was very good. The character, the actor, got into his part extremely well. And as we have talked about the essence of a character, whether you're writing a book or you're a director of a movie, needs to be brought forth, I think, to tell a really good story and to present as Robert would say, the work of art that's needed, I think. And the actor really did a good job. He stayed in character, I was told, even when he wasn't on the set. So I hope you get a chance, Robin, to go see that, because it was an extremely good movie.
Yeah, I've definitely been looking forward to that one. And I really enjoy historical films, so I think we need better, more quality films of that type today, because we've really been swamped with a lot of trashy remakes. So this would be a nice break from that.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, without further ado, let's get to the main course here, which is Robert Nichpun, and he wrote the books, I should say. There's four of them in the series called Gazpacho, and my understanding is he has completed four of those books, but only two of them are available, and really now they're really quite not, because they're kind of in the editing stages, and as we all know, we want to put forth work which is good work, and we want to make sure that we clean up all of our flaws. Not all of our flaws, because everybody can't be perfect, but I think it's a process that I think a lot of our listeners will appreciate. And when we hear Robert talk about his journey through this world of publishing, I think everybody will get a better feel of what they need to do to get their books out there. And I know that that's something that everybody struggles with, and not just Robert here. So anyways, without further ado, Robert was on last time in March. Now we bring him back at the end of November, and introducing not just him, but his friend Gazpacho. And with that, I'd like to welcome back to the Writer's Lounge on this wonderful November 26th, Robert Nichpun.
Hello there, Tom, Robin. It's great to be back.
Yeah,
after a half an hour, we're back again.
All right.
Yeah, so here we are, Robert, and thank you again for being here. And I thought that what we would do is, before we got into the meat of the questions that we have for you, if you could kind of explain, give our listeners a little background on who Gazpacho is and what it was that brought you to develop the character.
Right. Primarily, my history has been mostly in the visual arts, producing sculptures and paintings, portraits in oil, and monumental sculptures in bronze. And was during this this period of work in my career where I began to assess a lot of things concerning art, just in general. And it was at one point during my career, some years ago now, that it came to me. I realized that the most important thing that you can do when producing a work of art is to tell a story and to tell it well. And that if that was really predominantly the most important thing that an artist could do, I asked myself, do I have any stories to tell? Or what story would I even think was important enough or valuable enough to tell? And that's when I looked inside myself for really the first time. And that's when I did not discover a story, but the character originally of Gazpacho. And it was the character then that drove and started this process for me of crafting a story, writing a story, ultimately creating the story that now exists in what is four books. And it took many years just to process and come up with this, that it all started from a blank slate, a blank canvas, so to say. There was nothing that really initially inspired the work, you know, a previous work or something else that was out there that, again, I looked to that, again, influenced it. It was just all original, and it was something within me, this character. And that, to me, was the beginning of what I consider now to be the most important work of my career as an artist.
Even more so than your sculptures and your paintings and your drawings.
I feel this way because of its potential. what this particular work has the opportunity to do that I believe these other works have a more limited, are a little more limited. This particular work, Gazpacho, I feel, is so important because it allows me, it gives me the opportunity to reach out to, well, in this case, first time for me, the masses, the public at large. The work that I produced in the past, even though it was, they were public commissions for churches and what have you, things of the like, these private works even, again, they were commissions for a community, for a people. But this particular work started from a very humble and yet significant base for me, which was getting a work out to the masses, to the people of the world, actually. I did not see the same limitations in this way with this particular work, Gazpacho, I mean, as some of the other works that I've done. And that, to me, influenced everything. I looked at this work then for its potential and to its potential to drive it, to work within the potential of it, again, to reach the largest audience possible. And for me, again, that's more than highly rewarding. It expanded me beyond the boundaries and of any other work that I had done to where I'm at now, considering this work as a work that is intended for and has the potential to reach out to most everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that, you know, it's just a worm, but it's more than a worm. It's sort of, you know, you're taking the extreme in life and kind of showing what it's like to be down and out, being small, trying to work your way into being somebody, like Gazpacho is trying to do as a small little worm. You can't even imagine the perspective that he's even seeing from that height.
Right.
To look up and see humanity and all of its glory and all of its vastness and those buildings that are standing up in front of him as he goes down to be a star. So it's interesting that, you know, you're presenting not just him. And I know a little bit more about Gazpacho because we have we work together in our regular jobs. And we've talked about what you want to do with him in the future, and it's quite amazing. But before we get into what you want to do with him in the future, with the character himself, what I would like to ask you is, you know, as we all know, a lot has happened to Gazpacho in the past year, and to you as an artist and author, as you migrate through the world of publishing, and we'll touch on that a bit, but what is Gazpacho... What has the experience of Gazpacho done for you on a personal level after the last year or so, and actually longer, because it took you longer to write the books, but what has it done for you?
Gazpacho is an extraordinary work for me in how much it has expanded my perceptions of things and how much it has served me to feed my soul. It has given me a great deal more than when I first began the process of writing it and documenting this story. It has given me more than I could have imagined it would. And it has given me the opportunity to pursue something, to endeavor to produce something that... is a work of art, and as a work of art, for the potential of what a work in art can be, it is something that has the ability to feed someone's soul. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the significant part of this work, and what I've come to realize, it's already doing that for me. It is giving me something that brings a great deal of life to me and has generated a great deal of life for me and love. Something not just to inspire me, but again, at that love-centered based place, just a great deal to believe in and a great deal to be about. And so it's life-giving. And that to me is this wonderful potential. That to me is this wonderful potential to even promote and be about, and what this work is even doing and serving me personally.
And then also, we can't forget that you were involved in this process with a very special lady in your life, your partner, Carol Murto, who is a big part of gazpacho and the development of gazpacho. And I'm sure that you two have interacted while you produced this work to a degree where you got to know each other better and appreciated all that goes into producing a work of art. You know, once again, you know, folks, we're talking about a book here, but in Robert's mind, you have to understand that he doesn't just see this as a book. All of us should be seeing our work as artwork. And because we are creating something, it may not be a canvas with a paintbrush and a pen, but it's still a work of art. When we start painting landscapes and pictures, or we're describing zombies, and I know that Robin would appreciate that, we are really creating a work of art. And just to give you an idea what Robert's all about, he's very deep, folks. I'm not going to try to gloss over this. To sit down and talk to Robert, you're not going to do it in 5 minutes. You probably won't even do it in 3 hours. You know, you're going to have to sit and listen to what he has to say, and what he has to say is very deep. So what I would ask you to do, if you are listening to the program, is go to his website, which is 7pillarsstudio.com.
That's right.
And take a look at what he has produced. And I guarantee you that when you see what he has produced already in the world, you will be awed by it. There's no other word to explain what I felt when I saw what he's done. So in producing this work of art called gazpacho, he has said it's his greatest work. And you have to appreciate that as a book that's coming out that you can read. And if it even equals what he's done with paints and or sculptures, it's simply amazing. Robin, you're still there?
Well, he's painting with words. That's what he's doing. Instead of using a canvas, he's able to still create, in a creative way, share this in a different format. But you still appreciate it for its art. So, yeah, it is very deep. Mm-hmm. And I love gazpacho. I just think he's so cute. And you know, adults can relate to him and children. You know, I mean, it's not just a book mm-hmm. that would be geared towards kids. It's you know, something that everybody can relate to and enjoy.
In relation to that, yeah. What you just said, Robin, many different levels this book series reaches out to people, as we say, of all ages. But what I'd like mm-hmm. to ask Robert is, what lessons does gazpacho teach a child who is, say, 12 or 13 years old?
Hmm. Someone 12 or 13, well, that time in someone's life is really a turning point for them. It's kind of a coming-of-age time for children mm-hmm. around that time, where they're coming out of their childhood and now beginning to see the world not through yet adult eyes, but they're looking at the world more for what it holds for them. You know, mm-hmm. asking those questions of themselves, how do I fit into the world and how will I eventually fit into the world? And what is it about the world that I see when I look out into it that I would like to explore and partake of? What is my future, you know? And that's a major part of what takes place in the telling of gazpacho's story. It's a coming-of-age story, at least initially and predominantly, actually. So I think that it would offer a lot to somebody of that age, mm-hmm. In particular, because the character, the book is actually the life story of this particular character. And as a worm, this is something that, you know, bring to light here. As a worm, how I saw the character at first was in one light. But I the more that I spent time with the worm and the character, I began to realize things like this, that the potential of this work is what I mean. The potential being, as a worm, a gazpacho represents a creature that's way down at the very lowest rung on the totem pole of all life's creatures. And he's coming into our man-made world from this extreme vantage point. And because of that, he has the potential, I feel, to tell what's really the ultimate of underdog stories. And it's also because he's a creature that's commonplace and found everywhere in the world. He represents in a universal way to me something that is well-known and fundamentally so very simple, humble, and especially pure. But of all the qualities that gazpacho best represents by being a worm to me, the premier quality is that he's someone who's directly connected to the soil and to the very planet itself. And in this way, gazpacho is innately aware of the responsibility he has to help maintain the quality of the soil in order to help sustain the health, the well-being, and the life of every creature, animal, plant, and person on the planet. So in other words, he is aware that he's the lowest of the low and that he exists to care for and to serve every other living thing. And not just for the sake of the today, but for the future as well. So this is what's in the character.
And I think, too, Robert,
that
that's, goes back to the original question of the 12 or 13-year-old that picks up this book and starts reading it. They're going to get an idea here that's going to hopefully stay with them for a very long time, because ultimately, isn't this what this work is all about? It's to teach us things about life, correct?
Yes, and then, and in this way, how to best serve others. This is really gazpacho's journey. He's trying to find his voice. He's trying to find his way, but not in his fictional world, but in our world, our human man-made world. So he's coming from this place, a northern countryside woodland home. And this is what he knows. He knows of nature. He knows about the earth. He knows about things and what to care for. He comes from this pure place, and he's got a pure soul, and he wants to serve. And this is the thing that I believe that most any kid, any child, any, you know, anyone going through that stage in their life, this coming of age stage, they're looking of how they could potentially find their way. And that's what I'm raising the question of. Finding the way that allows you, gives you the opportunity to best serve the way that you have a capacity to do that. That takes time to process and time to learn about. And that's what actually happens in gazpacho's story as well. It's a process, and it takes a while for him to really learn the truth of his potential and to learn of how he can best serve, but he accomplishes this.
Right.
And again, it's not in ways that are expected. It's not in the ways that he even hoped or expected, but ultimately he finds that way because he stays on course and he does look for, again, what it is that he has best to offer others and ways to serve them.
Mm. Robin?
Yeah. So there's an inspiring message in such a simple but simple yet deep, you know, this story that you've created, this world that gazpacho lives in and who he is and how he fits into the world. So, yeah, it's very deep.
Yeah,
I
it
love
is.
It.
And it's interesting because it's deep, but it's also simple, because when you look at the illustrations that accompany the book, It automatically pulls you in. The character has a charisma about him that just kind of wants you to wrap your arms around him, and not just in a physical sense, but also, who are you, gazpacho? And and the book tells you who he is. But getting back to your artwork, and that's a big part of your life here, but the story and the journey of gazpacho is accompanied with many illustrations. Can you tell us about the thinking that went into creating those, and why did you do it the way you did it?
Yes, that actually echoes for me the way that the story was written in the first place, that the story was written first before having produced any art for it. I told the story from the character's perspective because to me that seemed the best way to make it or to tell it in the most honest and forthright way, so that it could be appreciated not from, for me, one of the most important things in writing this particular work was that it was character-driven, that the story would be character-driven, that what we would learn about and what we would see would be from this character's perspective.
So your artwork, you know, enhances that part of Gazpacho. It brings it out, correct?
Well, yes. The thing that I was looking for and what I searched for and found was the character's voice. And once I found the character's voice and could write for the character from the character's perspective, I knew that I really had something there. And what I really had to work with was something that was pure, humble, simple. And that's kind of what we were talking about there a little bit earlier, is there is a deep foundation to what this work is based on and built from, the foundation of it. But the work itself is very approachable, very easy to access. It's not so deep on the surface. That's all in the foundation of it. And from this character having a voice, speaking for the character's self and his own perspective, you get to see it that way in a very humble and pure way, forthright way, that again is very approachable and easy to take in. And so the illustrations really just echo that. So rather than produce illustrations that are deep and crafted, I did it this way, really. I did it so that the illustrations have been produced as they would most likely appear if Gazpacho, this character, had my level of artistic ability, and he created them himself. Mm-hmm. And so in that way, I feel that everyone can fully enjoy the art of Gazpacho, especially children, because I really don't know of any child who can look at like a Rembrandt, per se,
right. Yeah.
And simply love it for all that it is.
And I can't even do that. But
Yes.
We understand what you're saying, and a Rembrandt would be, sorry, Robert, but here I go again. You just got to go to his website, folks, to see a Rembrandt. But but he's able to transmit the character both in words and also in illustrations to a level that, like he says, I think that everybody can appreciate it, not just the young, but also the old. And I see this little guy going a long ways. I've said this back in March when we last talked, and I see that it's going to take a while. This process is very anxiety provoking at times. It can it can lead to sleepless nights. It can keep people up drinking until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I know someone, I won't mention his name, but we all get into our works, whether it's paintings or whether it's books or characters, and developing those characters to a point where we want to see them succeed like we would our child.
Mm-hmm.
So when you put him out into the world, little Gazpacho there, in both words and in drawings, I can appreciate what you're doing. It's just amazing to me what you've done. And as I said, this little worm will worm its way into readers' affections. And when the readers and fans of Gazpacho begin to ravishingly reach out to you, Robert, and want more, how are you going to deliver? I mean, what's the future plans that you have for this little worm? Tell us a little bit about it. I know, but we want all our listeners to know the extent of where you want to go with this guy.
Well, yeah. See, the main thing is in producing any work of art, I want to bring it to full life. And so I'm asking myself this question all the time, even through the process. What is it that I'm working on here? Why am I working on it the way that I am? And is that actually taking place? Is it coming to life? And because to me that's really one of the main things here as an objective. But with the work in mind, what other potentials are there beyond the work? That also is a part of the process now for me as I continue working on this and working with a publisher now, editor and what have you. It's how much more does this particular work have to offer as a potential? And there's so much that comes to mind for me because of what it is. And that's why I perceive it to be the gift that it is, the level of the gift that it is, and as important as it is. Gazpacho, because he is this worm, this simple, humble, and pure character, comes from this base, again, loving life, wanting to find his voice, and looking to serve not just a few, but everyone and everything, serving this potential, humanity, so to say, and all the creatures that live on it. I see that Gazpacho could very well and ultimately serve as like a goodwill ambassador, a spokesman to help assist people and aid people, in various countries all over the world, in such areas as literacy and languages and education, things like recycling and the environment and healthcare and health-related issues
because of
what comes up in the story.
It's interesting that you say that because the worm is part of the earth.
Yes.
And that's the message that he can deliver because he is from the earth.
Right.
And it's not just being the little guy and succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, you know, the 13-year-old that doesn't think he's going to be able to sing. He learns from Gazpacho, you can do anything you want to do. You just have to put forth the effort to do it. But the message also is, again, getting back to the earth. He can teach us about that, too. And you have mentioned, and I've heard other people say with affection regarding Gazpacho, I can't tell you how many people had said to me, oh, we just got to have a plush toy. I want to hold him.
Right.
I want to go to bed with him at night and hold him, you know, like you would like a teddy bear. So
right.
That's also in the works, correct?
Oh,
for
I would
sure.
love to see Robert go in that direction with Gazpacho. I would love to see him ultimately, you know, achieve that level where he actually could be a spokesworm for various causes.
Yes.
You know, for good causes.
That's right. That's it, exactly.
Yeah, I think that would be perfect, and
yes.
I am just so excited by the prospect of you taking him in that direction. That would be very cool.
Well, in order to do that, it's bringing him to full life and giving him that voice that's uniquely his own, because he can best serve. Rather than me speaking, because like you say, on this deep level and coming from this artistic place, Gazpacho doesn't really come from that place. He comes from his place, his voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Much more approachable and accessible, simpler and pure. There's a lot of love there.
If you can get past his stink.
Well, see, now he's got obstacles to overcome, and they're written in the story.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the underdoggy thing there. It's just that he does have a lot of obstacles.
Well,
there is a lot to
it's
overcome.
It's the conflict that all of us writers inject into our stories and our characters, because we need those in our characters and in our stories to make it a good story.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I'm not going to. But I think that some people may think that because you put something into a story that might be offensive, it's not a good thing to do. Well, sometimes those offensive things are what draws the story out. And Robin, I'm just kind of remembering back a couple authors back. There was a story about a racially charged story regarding an interracial relationship where the gentleman who was white called the girl who was black a bitch. And it was that storyline and that part in the story that the author struggled with in putting in, but because he put it in, from the reader's perspective, my perspective when I reviewed the book, is that's what made the story. And the same goes with Gazpacho. It's because
of... Well, it's an emotional impact, yeah.
Yeah, and it's because of his stink that makes me want to read more, because he has a challenge to overcome. He has an obstacle to beat. It's himself, and he has to do everything he can possible to move on to where he wants to be in life, and I think that's the moral of the story with Gazpacho.
Oh, thanks for bringing that up, Tom, because there's a couple of parts to just even that stink level thing. It's not just a stink, it's a toxin that he has that's unique to his species as it's written and conceived. He's a unique, the rarest species of worm on the planet,
Can you tell us what species he is?
Yes, he's a rarest Nimis photitis loquaciatus rocamolus.
Say that three times.
Okay. After the show.
Okay. All right.
This is what he is as he was conceived. And because he's this new species, attributes are unique to that species? One of them is the ability to communicate with most every living creature. That's that one main thing that generates so much of the content of the story. But now the other, what you bring up, the obstacle, which is an apparent or immediate obstacle, this toxin level. He's got glands that produce a high level of toxin and stink at the same time. And that makes it difficult for others to be around him or for him to even make friends or to have close relationships with others. So it's an obstacle that he does have to overcome. However, it's not just an obstacle. Readers will find, even in the first book, that ultimately Gazpacho learns, and this is the thing relative to the book, and one of the lessons in the book, main lessons in the book, is that an obstacle, what may appear at first to be an obstacle, is actually a blessing in disguise. In ways you never thought or expected it to ever turn out to be that way, there is a reason and purpose to why even something might be an infliction or a difficulty. It's something that if you dwell deep enough and if you live long enough to be able to look back, you would likely see in retrospect that it had meaning, that it had purpose, and it served something. And in Gazpacho's case, it very much so does. And initially, and very impactfully, this toxin and stink, it's the thing that allows him to even enter the world. Because without that defensive mechanism, which serves him as a defense, he would immediately get gobbled up or trampled on by, whatever's out there, a
right.
predator or whoever. And so it was necessary in order to, in writing this story, to give him that believable context, a believable context for entering the world and being able to do that successfully. And this was one way and one part of the story and of his character that allowed me, again, that gave me that wonderful vehicle and opportunity to believably create this context of how he could actually make his way into our world and become the success that he eventually becomes.
Yeah, that's great. As we mentioned in the commentary portion of the program, Gazpacho, along with his many other challenges in regards to stink and other things, but has had to endure another challenge. And as we move on sort of from the story and kind of move into these other challenges, he also has to confront his editing doctors. And how are you and your little buddy handling this? Because I know that it's been a ride for you in these months. Tell us about that, if you would.
Well, you know where my heart is at. Bottom line is I want what's best for the work. And I want the work to be the best that it can possibly be. That first and above all things. In working with an editor or working with anybody, a publisher now, and Kitty Bullard.
With Dream TA Publishing.
I'm so excited working with her because I believe in her expertise. I believe in her ability to help improve this work. make it even better. So like in the past, for me, where concerning paintings or sculptures, I turn to others' expertise in order to improve my work as well there. Like in the case of a painting, I would go to a framer, and the framer would produce the frame for me. I wouldn't myself produce the frame. And in sculpture, I produce the clay original sculpture, but I then take it to a mold maker, and from the mold maker, after making a mold off of that sculpture, that gets sent to a foundry, and then a wax is produced out of the mold, and off of the wax, a ceramic shell casting is made, and ultimately a bronze is forged and welded together. Bronze metal sculpture is created. It requires a lot of hands, a lot of people assisting in the process to create these types of work. And so I'm very familiar with that, and I feel actually really quite good about it because it allows me to look to the expertise of others to, and with their expertise, help the work of, that I'm producing become the best that it can be.
And then getting back to the analogy of your child, sending your child out into the world, you want your child to grow into itself, into its own character, and you don't necessarily want other people changing its character to fit the world. You want them to be encouraged to develop. So in that respect, it's sometimes anxiety-provoking to have an editor or a publisher to redo your work in such a way that they might be cutting out a big slice of your story or changing your character in some way to fit their view of the way it should be. And that's a challenge, I think, for yourself and for other writers too. And I would say, and I think Robin would agree, that, you know, we can chop, we can allow the editor to chop, but we don't want them to chop too much. And we have to sit back and try to decide what is good for the story, and that's the bottom line. Would you agree with that, Robin?
Yes, definitely. And what Robert mentioned about the many players or many hands that are involved in the process of the book or the art, you know, whatever you're applying, you know, your creativity to, you know, you need that because one person cannot do it alone. You need that second and third and fourth eye and that other hand to help guide you because you cannot be objective enough, you know what I'm saying, in the editorial process to really do, you know, the best for your work, and you want to do the best. And anything, yeah, so anything that they can do to help you along the way, you benefit from that. And even if they do end up wanting, you know, asking you to chop large sections out, and I know I've had to deal with this myself, so I know,
right.
You know, I do know how it feels, but often, you know, in the end, it sometimes can be for the best. But
yeah,
it is okay to speak up and say, you know, how you want it to go, and you know, you're always in control, you know, as far as guiding it. You
yes,
know,
thank you, it, thank you, Robin. You're right,
yeah.
You're right there. See, the thing about it is that it is my artistic responsibility to bring this into the world and not somebody else's.
Right.
So I'm never deferring, and I never would defer my artistic responsibility onto somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That is not appropriate.
Right.
I need
right.
to have a clear vision and be respectful
yeah.
of the process and know
mm-hmm.
my own limitations relative to that. And that's a part
right.
of what's happening here. But to actually, but when I consider working with an editor and what would likely happen is, that what would actually happen in the end is what serves the work the best. That's really
mm-hmm.
the main thing. So why was this done originally? Well, if
mm-hmm.
I can answer that well and responsibly as to why this content or this part of the story is in there, And it really does improve and benefit the work. It's not something that would likely be cut.
Right.
It's that type of thing. So it's one of these things where it's not about that type of editing or that, I don't know, relatively deep editing, because again, I've discerned the work to such an extent where the majority of all the content is very sound in why it is what it is. But can that content be improved? Even a writer.
That's why when you say give it off to another person to let them look at it and make their, take their read on it, and then, you know, give you back that feedback, and then you can process that and kind of mull it over. I think that's a good thing to do, but at the maturity level has to be there for the writer to do that and not to be offended when somebody says, look,
right,
you do it maybe this way or maybe that way. But anyways, we do have a caller that's been waiting for some time here. And from the zip code, what am I thinking? We're not getting mail here, are we?
Yeah.
It's a phone call coming from an area code in our area. And I have a feeling I know who this is, but let's find out who it is. From area code 651, and you are on the air in the Writer's Lounge.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
It's Carol Murto. It's Carol Murto calling in.
Hi, Carol. This is Robert's partner and life partner. They've been together for many years.
Yes.
And she is also a part of Gazpacho, a big part of Gazpacho.
Absolutely.
And sort of the other arm of the Gazpacho. Carol, what comment or question do you have for, I'm sure you've asked Robert all kinds of questions. What would you like to say?
Well, I just wanted to say how much I'm enjoying the interview, and how valuable what you're saying is with regards to this process, and I like the way that you're exploring the way an editor can or cannot work in your world with regards to that reality. It's just what's real, and people do have different perspectives, but it is if the work is seen for what it is, and you have someone who's positive that you're working with, and open to working with the project. Obviously, I feel that an editor also needs to love the work.
I do, sure.
And if that love is not there, or at least some a lot of like and some passion, then you kind of have to start from scratch, in my view. But
that's part of the process, yes, that I'm looking forward to is that, you see, it was Leonardo da Vinci. He taught me one thing. He said that in painting is one of the greatest, if not the greatest way for an individual to prove their worth, to prove what they have the potential of doing. So he looked at painting in this way, for, again, an individual to prove themselves. But for me, in this process, in the art process, in art in general, and all that I've been involved in, it has served me better, and I love this more so than the individual way of going about things, is that including others only increases, for all of us, the experience of the work. It's shared.
Mm-hmm.
It opens things up. Instead of it just coming from one perspective, what does another perspective, or what can another perspective bring to something? Something, again, if it's at a level of expertise, something very substantial, contributing sometimes major things that, again, in this case, as an author, I might have overlooked, or I might have missed, or that could be done better.
Right.
And
right.
This is the gift of it, is just let it increase and promoting that. Let this be the best work it can be, and that's serving everyone well.
Yep.
And this is what I promote.
I think that's very well said, and I think a lot of writers should take that advice in their own writings and their own works, whether it be, once again, we got a little more than 5 minutes here, Robert.
I have one other thing now that Carol's on the line.
Go ahead.
Just something that I would like to begin, and then Carol, if you wouldn't mind, if you'd like to continue on. one of the most important things that I have learned personally, you asked me this real early on, but one of the most important things I have learned personally is in working with Carol, something that Carol has taught me, you have taught me, Carol, and I'm so grateful for it. Many people are aware and many people have heard that what you should do in life, you know, when you're considering what it is that you would do in life, is to do what you love, you know, whatever, what Carol has taught me is that however you best love, that is what you should be doing.
Yeah, I think it's all about love, and I think Carol
yes.
would agree with that. Carol, could you?
Yes.
We got a little more than 4 minutes here, and I want to get to the closing part here, but Carol, could you add to that?
I think you pretty much said it. A lot of people come to me in the work that I do and are looking for their passion or looking for their purpose in life, and I say, you know, just exactly what Robert said, however you best love in the world, that is what you should do. It may be what you also love, and you know what? Eventually it becomes one and the same. But it is how you extend yourself with love into the world that is your purpose, and everyone has that. And if it's through your writing, if you happen to collect garbage, whatever it might be, it comes down to loving one another, doesn't it?
Do it with a passion. That's all about it.
With a real passion.
Carol,
yes.
thank you for yep. coming on, and we'll see you around.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for calling. Yep.
Okay.
So anyway, we're reaching the end of our program, Robert. And like I said before the program, when talking to you, we could probably do a 2 or 3 hour show with you,
yeah.
and we still wouldn't have time to get done with what we want to talk about. But it's been a pleasure. I would just like to ask you to tell everybody where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, again, just go to 7pillarsstudio.com, and there are links to go email me, links around the site itself to check out my Facebook page, Gazpacho Facebook page, see what's going on there, and also a content page on the website that I update from time to time just to inform people of where things are at in my process and my work in general, not just relative to the book, this work, Gazpacho, but also the other work that I'm doing and producing and working on, too.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for being on the show. And, Robin, we've come to another end of the Writer's Lounge here. And are you ready, lady? Are you ready?
I am.
What do we say at the end?
You're
going to
be so proud of me.
At the Writer's Lounge, what is it that we say?
Good reading and good writing. We'll see you next time on the Writer's Lounge.
There we go. We'll see you later, folks.
In the middle of the day, your faith and your fences have been blown away. You're down in the cellar and you've locked yourself in. Ah, but it looks like it's rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather again. Morn. He said, Noah, get ready, for the sky will be torn. Build as I tell you, save what you can. Then wait while the rainbow weather begins. It'll looks like it's rainbow weather again. Storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out on a westerly wind. And it looks like it's rainbow weather. Trouble will come, but trouble will go. You're living in fear, but what do you know? You know that the sun's always coming then. You know there'll be rainbow weather again. It looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart and the sun will peek in. The rain will roll out. Like it's rainbow weather. Yeah, it looks like it's rainbow weather again. The storm clouds apart.